Beloved hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from the one who was, who is to come. Amen. All across the city tonight, in the houses, on the sea, in stores and shops, in churches, night begins to fall. The dark and the shadow begin to settle over the city, begin to settle over this sacred place. And we begin the opening act of that sacred epic drama, the drama that tells the story of how our God would walk as one of us, walk through the trials, the pains, the sacrifices, the betrayals, also the joys and the hopes and the loves that we as human creatures experience. And we enter tonight into this saga, this sacred drama, where we will rise again with our Savior in a few days. As the darkness was falling over the city tonight, and I was hurriedly making my way from the correctional center down on Wilkinson Road, and many of you perhaps were hurriedly making your way here from your busy day, I still have in my mind the pictures of little snapshots of some of those moments in my day today. I think about tonight as the darkness falls. The guy I spoke with this morning for an hour, who had just been sentenced to life imprisonment. And the shock that he was experiencing. His wonder, would his life have any purpose anymore? What would be worthwhile anymore? Where do I go from here? What does this mean? I think about another gentleman that I saw today who had not spoken to his family in a couple of years. They'd had an argument. He hadn't phoned home. He'd been in and out of jail. And his father called me today and said, I need to talk to my son. His mother has died. And so I brought this young man up and told him, you need to phone home. Your dad's got to talk to you. And as I've said before, when the chaplain arrives unannounced and says, your family wants you to call home, the guys generally know it's probably not good news. And so as he heard the news, and began to process it and felt that shock. What does this mean? I won't see her again. I'm here. It was a dumb fight we had, and I just was too stubborn to phone. How do I go on? I think about the young woman that I spoke with today, a young correctional officer who's struggling, wondering whether this is the right place for her. It's starting to wear on her. Long hours, lots of conflict, hard to measure success sometimes, and so she's wondering whether this is where she should stay. But she has children. She has a husband. She has bills. And if I were to leave this place, how would I go on? What would that future look like? What would I do? These are just three of the little snapshots that are running through my head about what some of the folks that I met today are thinking about. And I wonder, what each one of you are thinking about on this night, on this dark night when we begin this most holy and sacred time. What are you thinking about tonight? Because each of us carry with us much that is heavy. There is much that is difficult in being a human creature. It was many years ago when Jesus met with his friends in a night that was dark like this. It'd been 3 years they'd been traveling together. 3 years they had been doing something so simple and so revolutionary. They had been inviting people, anyone and everyone who would come and share a meal with them, to come and do so. Now that seems like such a simple act, and yet it was the method that Jesus used to draw people together from so many different walks of life, to gather around a bit of nourishment, and to discover that when we, with all of our differences and all the obstacles we place between ourselves, when we actually gather around and we take time to share a meal and to share our stories and our lives and the things that are weighing on our minds, there is healing. There is power. There is some sacred energy that has fueled the universe forever that is produced by this simple act of folks from many walks of life gathering around a table. So for 3 years, Jesus does this. And he finds himself on this night, and he knows that things have been getting more difficult. He knows that he's been gaining, you know, more resistance, more folks in powerful places have been seeing what's been happening, seeing what he's been setting off, giving people dignity, giving people hope, giving people strength. And he knows that, you know, being in Jerusalem this time may be his last. And so he gathers his friends together. And on this night, we commemorate many things. But we centrally commemorate his instruction to them to continue to do the work that he began with them. We use, you know, kind of biblical language, which is a little more fancy. But I can imagine him sitting around the table with his friends saying, "Friends, we've been at this for 3 years and we've had some good times and we've had some hard times. And I don't think I'm going to make it out of this one with you. But I want you to keep doing this. And I want you to know that when you break that bread and you drink that wine, I am with you. That is my body. That is my blood. I am here with you. Nothing's going to stop this. No matter what happens a day or two from today." I can imagine him saying that to them. And even the one who betrayed him, who is there, when we talk about this at the jail, guys say, "Oh boy, if I knew there was a rat in that circle, we'd have taken him outside and dealt with them." You know, what does Jesus do? Jesus feeds him. "Can I get you another slice of pizza?" You know, tremendous act of generosity and of confidence that God has got it in hand. That tomorrow, scary as tomorrow might be, God has already got it in hand. And so our job is just to do these simple things, continue the simple things that Jesus invited his first followers to do and continues to invite us to do. Gather around a table. Bring people from all walks of life, every walk of life. Leave judgments behind. Break bread, drink wine. Doesn't matter if it's pita bread or wafers, grape juice, or port. Gather, share your stories. Comfort each other, be with each other. Because bread heals the world that way. Whether it's a simple act of washing feet, that act of humility, of service, and of very intimate kindness. Very simple things that Jesus reminded his first followers and reminds us tonight. Very simple acts of kindness and compassion that change the world. So, in these next 3 days, I invite you and encourage you, whatever you're carrying, whatever it is that you wish to be healed, you wish to make peace with, enter into the drama of these 3 days. Gather around the table. Bring yourself, your full self, 100% to the table. And to the events of Good Friday, so that when Christ rises, we might rise too. Amen.